Let's begin.
This is the boss.
I'm the boss.
And the gloss.
My lip gloss, I only rock clear.
On SB Nation Radio.
And SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Here are your hosts, David Gao and Carla Dawson.
I got that sunshine in my pocket.
Well, it is time to celebrate something we've been waiting for all week. And some might say it's the NCAA finals, but it's not. It's the return of Carla Dawson to the airwaves. Am I right, Jose? Yes! She's back! She's on the air on our special NCAA Finals edition.
Still with burn marks from my bracket.
Oh, your bracket was really, really good until...
Third degree the weekend of the Sweet 16.
Yeah, late in the tournament.
It blew up.
It all blew up on her.
But I just want you to know, Jose, David, it's here. It's with me. As shameful as this bracket has turned, I'm loyal. I'm keeping it till the end.
Why?
Deep connection there.
I'm Catholic. It's a guilt thing.
She feels guilty about it. She missed a few, that's all.
And I also feel guilty of being I had a little hubris before the Sweet 16, thinking I was all that in a bag of chips, and I got served.
You so did I'm just come in with to. A bit of a strut in your walk.
I did.
But now, here we sit, big night. Texas Tech has announced that there will be no classes tonight, nor any classes tomorrow, for understandable reasons. Virginia on the redemption tour after their disastrous season last year. Or their Final Four March Madness last year. Disastrous losing in Game 1. And here they sit with
from
a chance to win
from worst to first.
From worst to first. It would be an amazing story if they were to pull it off. Two great stories coming into this. We've got a lot to unpack. One really fun thing we get to say is, well, let me frame it up this way, Jose. I think you'll appreciate it. For the first time on this show.
Oh, no.
A person on the air with us, sitting in studio. There'll be somebody with longer legs than Carla Dawson. And it is the great Elvin Hayes.
Woo!
He has longer legs than Carla Dawson, longer legs than the gloss. We've got Elvin Hayes coming in set. He will be joining us for our NCAA Finals edition tonight. Elvin Hayes, when we return, we'll ask him about the matchup. We'll ask him about the matchups last Saturday. When we return, Elvin Hayes joining us here on SB Nation Radio, the Boston with Gloss.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
All right, welcome back. A special edition NCAA Finals edition of The Boss and the Gloss. And it is with great delight, I welcome in Elvin Hayes, the Hall of Famer. Welcome to the show.
Hall of Famer.
Yes. Woo. Let me just offer a little context before we even let you get a word in. Okay. Yeah. So usually when she comes in, she's the gloss, I'm the boss, and you can see why she's the gloss. I'm not the gloss. She's the gloss.
We don't want him being glossy. That would be an issue.
Well, but you guys are a great combination. So that's what it's all about. You compliment each other. That's what a winning team does.
There we go. He's the offense. I'm definitely the defense.
Hey, way to go.
Well, where I was headed was this, is every week Jose and I are always intrigued what shoes she'll wear into the studio. Ooh. But I will say this tonight. You don't need her high heels. I mean, Elvin Hayes is a presence in this building. Fantastic to have you here.
Hey, my pleasure, sir. My pleasure.
So how does your bracket look? Hers is all messed up.
Yeah, I'm showing Elvin. He can admit this is bad, right?
Yeah, that's pretty bad. But that's why I never feel one out.
You know what? I didn't want to reveal mine until I got guilted into
it. Well, it's all good.
Next year I'm hiding it.
Yeah. Hey, but hey, the most important thing, you tried.
I tried. Isn't that nice? Well, we're keeping Elvin in studio all the time.
I'm dying to ask both of you guys, were you screaming? Were you furious? What were you thinking when Virginia got all the right calls at the end of that game?
Well, I think I feel that Virginia should have been gone home. Hmm. I really didn't agree with that call. I think that you know, the guy goes up and he, not straight up, because the rule is that you're supposed to go straight up. And but he began to drift over into the Auburn player to create it, the contact. And the Auburn player was turning, trying to get away from him. But, you know, to give that game like that, I just think it was really very bad. I think Auburn should have been playing tonight against Tech.
I do, too. And that's who I had for my final two. After my bracket blew up and I had to reassess, I had Auburn and Tech.
Yeah.
Going down to the wire with Tech coming out on top.
Yeah.
And you know, Elvin, what I agree with you about the end of that game. That was so upsetting. And credit Bruce Pearl, head coach, for just handling it class personified, because I would not, I got to say, I wouldn't be that nice.
No.
What
no
I didn't way. Love about it is a second before that call on Kyle Guy, that 3-point led to three free throws, was a missed really obvious double dribble at midcourt in front of the official.
So true.
Help me with that.
Well, you know, and the rule is very plain. You know, a guy dribble off his foot like that.
Right.
But you and they miss a call, but then you go and you make another call like that. And you know,
a makeup call.
Yep. A makeup. That's really what it is, a makeup call. But in Auburn, like you're saying, Auburn should have been there tonight. And with Tech, and Tech winning it. But, you know, Auburn had a mission. They were playing for a player, their teammate who had gotten injured, and their best player.
Okiki,
and then all of a sudden, you not only lose your best player, but then you also lose on a call like they made in that basketball game. Shouldn't have been.
It was tough. And I love Charles Barkley's reaction.
Yeah.
He's so honest, which is what I appreciate. He said, "I just want to cry right now." He said, I hear you,
tears.
Sir Charles.
Yeah.
I
agree. I understand.
I have to ask, it's sort of striking to me the comparison between Bruce Pearl's reaction and Sean Payton's reaction when the Saints got the bad call there or the no call in their playoff game. I mean, Sean Payton basically exploded and went after everybody and called all the names that he needed to call. Bruce Pearl really took a different tact.
Well, he really did. I would have, you know, for me, I would have loved to see how Bobby Knight would act.
I think there might have been a chair or two or three flying.
There would have been raining chairs down on that official.
No, it's so true. And what's so tricky about that had they called the double dribble, that would have been a decisive turnover in favor of Auburn. That would have clinched
been,
the game.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just
you know, sometimes you wonder, the game is about the two teams on the floor, but sometimes the officials try to inject themselves, and I think that's what kind of happened, you know, with Auburn in Virginia. They injected themselves into that game and really hurt a very good basketball team.
Do you think there's any merit to the fact of, even though I really was pulling for Auburn, I'm not even going to be shameless about that, but to see Kyle Guy go to the free throw line and as sharp a shooter as he is, at that moment, I mean, he not only nailed those free throws, they didn't even touch the rim. I was like, wow.
You know,
darn.
I agree with you. That was a super tough position. And you would think that an ordinary player, our player, going to that line three in a row, and not only hitting two in a row, but then they call a timeout. He goes over to the bench where, you know, you normally supposed to be getting iced over there. He comes right back out and get it, and boom, right in the bottom of the net. You got to give that young man a lot of credit for being able – nerves of steel to walk to that line to hit the two in a row and then go to the sidelines and come back out and hit that third shot.
Well, you know, his free throw shooting percentage is only a little over 80%. So the probability of making three in a row is only about 60%. And
that's true.
An amazing stat to do that under pressure to convert that way.
Very
give him a ton
amazing.
Of credit.
Because
very.
Auburn's last guy, I think it was Harper, that was at the line
That's
right. He's over an 80% free throw shooter, but it's in the 80s, and he missed one of the two.
That's right. And you know, that's why I always say, Free throws are a major part of the game of basketball. And I don't think a whole bunch of players take it seriously.
Agreed.
And you got to practice those. You got to practice. You know, I see coaches practicing defense, practicing offense. They practice so many different areas of the game. But they really don't put the pressure on their guys for shooting free throws, because that's where you win and lose basketball games. And what happened, it shows. That's where you win, or that's where you lose them.
At the college and the professional level,
same.
It's embarrassing.
Pros, same level. If it's the pros, you can win or lose them there. If it's the college, you can win and lose them.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about Virginia, though, because, yes, Kyle Guy, extraordinary with those free throws. But really, it seems like Virginia used last year's poor showing in March Madness to really build a foundation to come back this year. They had a lot of players returning. They weren't a bunch of one-and-done guys last year. They weren't a bunch of seniors. They had a bunch of sophomores and juniors all coming in. And something that happened last year, it seems like it was foundational for this year. Did you feel that?
Well, yeah. And that's what happened to a good basketball program and a good basketball team. When you lose – And you say, man, you know, there's no way we should have lost this basketball game. We're going to pull together. And they had a lot of escapes this year where they went into games. And
absolutely. In the tournament.
Yeah. Oh, throughout.
Man.
And they really didn't really come. They would find a way to win. And I think that came from last year, that they grew a little. They were stronger in their minds, and they're stronger in what they wanted to do and how they wanted to do it, and that they had a mission. They had a mission that, hey, we got to get back there. We should have been last year, and all the steps, all the way, that's what they were planning, and that's what they really did, what they planned to do.
You know, you bring up a great point, Elvin, with the tight games that they've had in this tournament, and they've played tight. They've played as a, I don't want to make history, like
that's
negative history like
right.
I did last year. Because you look at they had improbable escapes versus both Purdue, which went into overtime, and
that's
Auburn.
Right. That's right.
And the same thing happened to Duke right before their game with Michigan State. They had just eked out against UCF.
That's
and
right.
I can't remember what the early, Virginia Tech.
Virginia Tech, yeah.
And I thought, how long does luck stay on your side with this talented Duke team? And I'm wondering with UVA, they've had some really close calls. What's tonight going to bring?
Well, they need one more lucky night, don't they?
They do.
Well, I don't know if they're going to find it here. I think, you know, Tech is a different kind of basketball team. Tech is a fresh, you know, basketball team that have never gone there. And these guys hit a run during the course of the year that have really carried on, and their confidence have grown and grown. I watch them shoot the basketball from the three-point line. I watch them on the inside. I'm watching them doing things that, hey, these guys' confidence are really there. Mm-hmm. It is at that stage where they're saying, we are ready for another national championship in Lubbock. Cheryl Swoop gave us one.
Right, she
now,
did.
It's time for the guys to show their stuff out there. And I think that, hey, they're going to make Lovett very, very proud.
I hope so.
We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll ask Elvin, what were the keys to Tech's big victory yesterday that had put them here in the finals? When we return, it's Elvin Hayes on the Boston The Gloss of SB Nation Radio.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
All right, you need to think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. We're close, convenient, and known for our guaranteed everyday low prices and excellent customer service from professional parts people you can trust. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. All right, joining us here in studio is the Big E, Elvin Hayes, Hall of Famer. Extraordinary to have you here on a big night.
My pleasure to be here with you, Carla, and you, Mr. Gao. It's just great to be in here with you guys. Y'all such a team, such a winning team. You guys do what Tech going to be doing tonight.
I hope so. That's the plan.
All right, so let's talk about Texas Tech.
Oh,
Chris
yeah.
Beard's done an outstanding job. This is not a one-and-done team.
Oh, no.
He has put all the pieces together, developed this team, and it sounds totally. Like you think they have the wheels to pull it all off tonight.
Well, I've seen a team that really have grown during the course of this tournament.
Yep.
They have not taken a step back from anybody that they have played. And when you play a team like Michigan, one of the Michigan teams, and you beat them, 61-51, hey, you're playing great defense, you're playing great offense, and you're doing the things that a good basketball team do. They're rebounding. They're blocking shots. They are really playing with such confidence right now that it's going to be tough for this Virginia team to really beat them because they have really hit. When you say, man, this team have really come into their own and have hit a streak. And they have been playing so well over the streak that right now they don't feel that they can be beat, I don't think.
Well, I love that they've done it on the defensive end. I mean, that team plays end-to-end tough defensive basketball.
Wow, yes.
It's really notable for them.
Yes.
Well, let's give props to Chris Beard, who was just named mm-hmm. Coach of the Year.
Yep. Yes.
And what's even more great about that. So 64 votes, and the votes all happened before the tournament,
yeah,
which is interesting. He got 20 of the 64 votes, which I want to tell you who got the second votes, but we'll go in that in just a minute. That's after losing five of his six top scorers from last year.
Wow.
And he took that team last year to the Sweet 16. And wow. So to be able to do that, I am amazed at what he has done.
Yes, you're absolutely right. When you can lose those kind of that many scores, and I'm talking about the heart of your basketball team and program, then all of a sudden to come and do the things what he is doing, it's unreal. You don't think it, and you don't know how he did it, but hey. It came together, and he did it.
He did it. And the second vote-getter for Coach of the Year was Kelvin Sampson.
Wow.
He got 13 out of the 64 votes. And then the rest of the coaches, there were 12 more listed that each got one vote. So what's going on in Texas, Elvin? I mean, we've got Chris Beard taking it away. And Kelvin Sampson, our U of H just superstar, a close second.
Well, Beard and Texas Tech play in a very big basketball conference.
And so, the Big 12.
He have had to really do some work all year long. And Coach Sampson, we're in a basketball conference. And Coach Sampson did an excellent job with these players. He lost, like I say, Rob Gray and Davis last year. And then Devin. And then all of a sudden, you have to come back. And he won, 27 or 28 games in a row, and he had two miss. And they lost a couple there. But Coach have really – what he have, and I think a lot of other coaches, sometimes you watch, some coaches win on players' talent. But Coach, one thing he did that a lot of people really didn't notice – the kids at the University of Houston bought into the coach's program. Mm-hmm. They bought into what Coach wanted to achieve and accomplish. And Coach have been building this attitude up over the last two or three years that, hey, kids, if you will do this, and these kids truly just bought into his system and what he was trying to achieve. And it showed this year that, hey, if you do what I know that you're capable of doing and what I can give you to do, hey, we can win. And, hey, they won. And, Coach, I don't know if we have the talent that Tech have with their bigs and all of that, but right now Coach did something this year with talent that he had to really just Sipe from over here, Sipe a little from over there, and bring a great team together. Because I tell you, Galen Robinson, Corey Davis, and Amani Brooks, these three guys really carried this basketball team. And that's very difficult for three guards, basically, mm-hmm. to carry a team. And then you had Jarrod.
I loved watching him. And you also had
Nate Hinton. Now, I tell you, I think Nate Hinton is going to be a great player. He comes out of a great city, Gastonia, Illinois, North Carolina, where so many great North Carolina players come out of.
And he's a freshman, right?
That's right. He's a freshman. There's been some Hall of Famers come out of that place, Gastonia. So I think that next year, they got a kid, Mills, that he's a guard that we just got out of Carolina. Mm-hmm. He's going to be a freshman next year. But once again, I think it's important that we got such a foundation and such a base of great guard players. I think we're going to have to really get some bigs on this basketball team to really complement these guards. Because the team I played on at U of H, it was from the inside out. You wanted to do some serious damage on the inside, but also you want to have it from the outside. So if you can get it inside out, that's what it's all about, I think. We're going to have to try to get some inside game going.
And I think we saw that too. Don't you agree, Elvin? We were talking about it a little bit before we came on air in the Kentucky game.
Yes.
I mean, U of H had the system, the scheme, and the talent.
Yes.
No doubt. And they took Kentucky to the wire.
That's right.
But what I saw on this, and I double-checked with you, the expert, mm-hmm. was they were missing the size. That's what it came down to at the end. Talk about that.
That's totally true. You got to have that. You can only play on that energy from the guard position, and you have depended on that so much this year from Amani Brooks and Corey Davis and Galen. But when it was time to really say, okay, let's push the pedal, let's go inside, where is our inside people? I think Fabian White is going to be he's a freshman, he's going to be a really good player. But I think that we got to get a big center over there. I know on my team that when I played there, we had Ken Spain, a 6'11", a 6'10", 280-some-pound guy. Well, you got to have that size in the middle. You got to be able to bang. You got to be mm-hmm. able to control the boards. You got to mm-hmm. be able to score some hoops inside. So if you're able to step up to get that, you will always be in it, but will you be able to win it? So when Kentucky kind of ran them out of a gas on the inside, they just didn't have it. Those guys from the outside had just ran themselves down. They didn't have the legs to really get them over that hill.
And it was a battle under the basket. It was inside the paint. That last minute 30 was crazy.
That's where the business and the work goes.
Yep.
We're talking to Elvin Hayes, who's in studio with us, a man who's won many battles under the basket, Hall of Famer, and former Cougar. So great season. They wrap up Kelvin Sampson, beautiful new stadium. It's an electric environment down there. What's the ceiling for this program? And we'll have to take a break in a minute, but the ceiling is pretty high right now. It feels that way in Houston.
Well, I tell you, what they achieved this year during the regular season and what they achieved in the playoffs this year have really set the standard for next year with eyes focused on the Cougars. Will they be able to repeat? Will they be able to go back and achieve some of the goals that they achieved on the floor at Tillman Fertitta Center and also at TSU? Will they be able to achieve and accomplish those kind of goals again? And they have the ability to, but they're going to have to find a way to get some big player inside to take them over.
All right, when we come back, we'll ask Kelvin Hayes how Zion Williamson projects in the NBA when we return on the Boss of the Gloss of SB Nation Radio.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
It's a special edition Boss and the Gloss NCAA Finals tonight, and we have in studio with us the Big E, the Hall of Famer, Elvin Hayes. It is fantastic to have you, Elvin, though I have been noticing one of your shoulders looks a little stiff. Do you have any pain over there? You had a long career, a lot of bumps and bruises.
Oh, as guys would say, oh, yes, because that right hand, I used to be doing air raids all the time. You know, they say, Elvin, you never got an assist so you could rest your arm. So it was always shooting, shooting, shooting. So, yeah, I have some of that pain.
Well, I have some good news for you.
Wow.
That pain in your shoulder,
uh-huh.
Carla knows the solution.
Wow. Two words for you, Elvin. Blue Emu.
Blue Emu. It's a deep, penetrating
cream. I know you're thinking
cream.
I'm crazy, but this is the stuff.
You rub it on your shoulder. It will take away all the pain. And one great thing I can tell you about it is it does not stink. It doesn't smell at all.
Really?
There's no scent.
No burn?
No burn.
It's fantastic.
No.
Before you leave today, we're going to give you a little jar of Blue Emu.
Okay.
It will solve what you've got on your shoulder.
Wow, that would feel nice to know.
It will
feel good. I have something to look forward to.
And you can keep going with your air raid.
Oh,
no sharing the ball on the playground. No way.
Because now, you know, that arm getting a little weak. It hurt a little. I can't be shooting. So, hey. Take that soreness out. I may get a second look at it.
Blue Emu is going to resurrect his career.
Yes, it is. It's going to take you back to your Cougar days.
You just said the Cougars needed another
Elvin's
big man.
Elvin's a Cougar. That's right. Hey,
bring him back.
Hey, I would love to.
let's talk about another current player, Zion Williamson.
Wow.
He's not a big man.
No.
He's not a small man.
He's a very large human.
He's a very large human,
yes.
6'7", 275.
Yeah, 6'7", 275. A body type not like... Yeah. Anybody else, really.
No.
So how do you project him into the NBA? What kind of role do you see him? Is there a position that you would say, oh, he's going to fit in this role?
Yeah, I see him as a Wes Unseld, but Wes was a rebounder and a great inside player and probably one of another Hall of Famers, Charles Barkley.
Mm-hmm.
He will be just like a Charles Barkley.
Yep.
He will be able to get it going to the NBA, and he will be able to do all the things that he did not do in college because how the college game is played. But in the pros, he will really take his game to a different level, and he will be a Charles Barkley.
Can you see he's developing a shooting touch to hit the three-pointers?
Yeah.
Consistently in the NBA?
Yeah. In college, a guy like him, they try to get him inside and they try to work everything to get him right inside the circle there, right around 5 to 10 feet around. But he will be a tremendous outside scorer. I remember Clyde Drexler could only make layups in college.
Yep.
He could not shoot a basketball. Over the summer, you know, Marcus Johnson, who played at UCLA, could not score. All he could do is make layups. But then he began to practice his work on his shot, and Zion is going to work on his shot. Zion going to be shooting threes. Zion going to be shooting 15 feet. He's going to be dunking. He will be a Charles Barkley.
Hmm.
Only he'll score better.
We're talking to Elvin Hayes, the Big E, in studio with us. Okay, so coming out of the tournament, it seems like at least the NBA mock drafts now have Zion Williamson 1, Morant 2, maybe Barrett 3.
Yeah.
Anybody else who stood out of the tournament that you want to highlight and say, hey, this is a guy I know and needs to be in this lottery pick?
Well, you know, when you look at these kids and you look at right now, that the teams that have really super players. I tell you, this kid from Lipcomb, you know, I was...
Oh, that played in the NIT?
Yeah.
Against UT, yeah.
Yeah, I was really impressed with that kid. Hmm. And you got a bunch of kids. I don't think that we got an opportunity to really see in the major tournament, but they were in the NIT and all of that. But I think you got some really, you know, super players that probably are going to fit in there. And I think the NBA, what the NBA has really got in mind, they were going to take as many of these young men as possible out of the college, and they're going to put them either on an NBA team or put them in a G League.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And which I do not agree with, but I think that you have some players who, you know, like Zion and like some other players, who can step up and come into the pros. But a lot of those kids that I have seen sometimes, they'll come into the pros, they don't get a shot at playing. Mm-hmm. So they end up just sitting on that bench and not being able to exhibit their talent. So, you know, if you know, to say, hey, this guy, because there's some interesting talent out there who could, you know, go into that draft, but it's like, are they really ready to go in that draft?
So we were talking about big men earlier, and one of the big men that I loved in the tournament, UCF has a big guy there. Ooh. Taco is amazing. Does he project into today's NBA very well?
Well, I tell you one thing, he'll be in the NBA.
Yeah. He reminds me of Manute Bol.
Oh, yeah.
Same type of body.
But he's bulkier, right?
Yeah,
he's bulkier. He is a bit bulkier than Manute.
Yeah,
that's
he's
true.
Much stronger and much bigger. But, you know, I think that in the pros, they will develop him, and they will have him doing some things, scoring, getting a little hook shot. They, you know, wouldn't he be devastating if he had a little sky hook? Whoa, he would be.
Bring back Kareem,
yeah,
right?
That you know, let Kareem work with him. Because I was telling Jabbar one day, I was saying, no, why don't they have big guys in this league doing sky hooks anymore? But then also you don't want him to end up, he's 7'6", maybe a 7-footer like Durant and some of those guys. All these guys are shooting nothing but threes.
Yeah.
Right.
But
right.
I hope he don't go out there and start shooting threes. But no, I think, you know, Taco is just going to, you know, way he can block shots. He don't have to jump anything. He reaches up 10
it's
foot.
It's crazy to watch him. And he's agile.
No, very,
at that size,
he
it's
runs,
unbelievable.
Very active. And so I think that he is going to make some team a very, you know, instant, you know, challenge to be able to get into the playoffs and maybe even have a better winning basketball team because he's a very interesting young man.
Mm-hmm.
Very smart young man also.
So you look, Elvin, at what the Splash Brothers of Golden State,
yeah,
Curry and Thompson have changed the game.
My goodness,
you know, really,
yeah,
you know, it's a 3-point game now, and every position is shooting the threes, from Draymond Green on their team to, like you referred to, Kevin Durant as a 7-footer, you know, having a great 3-point shooting percentage. So you look at Purdue's guard Carson Edwards, who just declared for the draft, and he broke Steph Curry's 3-point record in the tournament.
Yeah.
Do you see him being a contributor in the NBA this year?
Well, I think he can be a contributor, but, you know, I see a lot of kids, you know, come out and they, and you know, like the ball, you know, Lonzo Ball. Mm-hmm. He was saying, hey, I'm better than Kobe. I'm better than Michael. And
yeah,
all
LeVar
that.
Was saying that about
but,
his
team. Yeah, I mean,
right?
LeVar.
Yeah.
But, but when a kid get into this game and then they realize they are not a Kobe, they're and so I think that, you know, that kid is going to be, you know, you can be a scorer. The kid who was at Oklahoma last year, who's with Philadelphia
right now. Oh, buddy.
Right now.
Trae Young.
Young, you know.
In Atlanta.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's right, in Atlanta. But, man, he is still shooting the basketball.
Right.
But you look at their record. You know, you look what Atlanta is doing. So it's like.
Very true.
Yeah. So, you know, when a kid is going to be an impact player, you're talking about, you know, Zion is going to be an impact player.
Immediately.
That, wherever he goes, you know. And right now, you know, you go to either Phoenix, you go to New York. And New York got some good hits that they're going to be able to bring in. You know, for them, they got about 3 spots open. So it's one of those things that you don't want to get stuck in a weak situation. You want to be able to come in and really help a basketball team. Now, contributing, I think that this young man, you know, he could come in from, he could contribute and, you know, come in off the bench and make some shots and do some things. But as a starter and, you know, breaking a record in college is not like, you know, setting a record in the pros.
Right. The NBA is a little truth serum.
A little bit different. Totally different. Yes.
We're talking to Elvin Hayes in studio with us on NCAA Finals night, and we'll get back to the NCAA. But while we got you, I'd love to ask you about the NBA for just a minute.
Yes.
So it seems that the Warriors are on their way to another title, but they've got some hurdles to cover.
Yes.
Who in the NBA do you think has the best shot of dethroning the Warriors this year?
Well, you know, I think right now, you know, Milwaukee got a – Yannick is a very good player, and they got a very good basketball team. And on the East Coast, really, I guess I should be talking on that East Coast, because I don't know if up in Toronto they will ever be strong enough to get out of that East. Philly is got a very good young basketball team, and they have really helped themselves in trying to build for the playoffs this year. But it's tough to look around this league right now and say, hey, Golden State is going to be there, because there's a situation that they got a group of guys out there. They have won it. They know what they're doing. They know how to take care of business. And everybody is going to be looking at them to see, we want them. We got to beat them. But once again, you're going to have to play them. And I think that when you look at the East Coast, there are so many players that have – Boston is not the team they were last year.
Yeah, I know.
And so – You got teams out there that have dropped down.
All right, what about the Rockets here locally?
Well, the Rockets are a very good basketball team, and I think that Chris Paul, James Harden, and Capella, and Eric Gordon, these guys are really playing well. They play really well together, and they have an opportunity, I think, with any other team in the league, I think they have an opportunity to beat Golden State.
Yeah.
But you got to really challenge them, and you got to get each one of the Golden State players neutralized. You got to be able to neutralize Durant. You're going to have to neutralize Curry. You're going to have to neutralize, you know, Thomas and Draymond Green, Looney, and all of these guys. You got so much on that bench over there that can come at you. So I think that the Rockets have a very good opportunity to challenge this basketball team. But once again, Golden State is going to want to fight this off, because some of those guys might be gone next year.
Yeah, this could be their last hurrah.
Yeah.
I think so, with this group of guys. And, you know, it's interesting, too. Experience means so much, as you know.
It does,
especially
from
your days at U of
H. It
does, in these big games. And you look at Game 7 of the Western Conference Finals last year in the Toyota Center.
Yeah.
Houston is leading Golden State. Klay Thompson is off to a horrific start. He was like one of 11, had, you know, two or three fouls in the first quarter. But he's been there. He knows how to win at that level.
He knows how to lose
at that level.
That's right.
And he was able to pick it up and turn around. Yeah. When as soon as Golden State starts coming back, the Rockets, who haven't been at that level, tighten up and miss 17 consecutive threes.
Yeah.
How does that happen? So I think that's going to be the bugaboo for the Rockets, is possibly the lack of experience.
It gave them a good shot to see maybe they can get there. We're going to take a quick break. When we return, we'll get the final word from the Big E on who will win tonight's NCAA championship. When we return here on the Boston Gloss SB Nation Radio.
This is the Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
All right, just a minute or two here to wrap up our first hour. Elvin Hayes has been in here in studio in honor of the NCAA Finals. This is your final word, Elvin. Carla, you guys get to pick the winners for tonight. Tip-off is about 20 minutes away. Who do you like winning tonight?
Texas Tech.
The Tech, the Red Raiders.
The Red Raiders.
I've got the Red Raiders in a close one.
You had the Red Raiders last week, too, to
I
win.
Did. I had Red Raiders Auburn. That was my finals. Okay, don't think you're getting away with this.
Yeah, I'll be that's the contrarian.
Yeah, right? Right, yeah, Biggie? We cannot let him sit there and let us.
Bring it.
I am impressed by Virginia's backcourt, by the clutch shooting of Kyle Guy. Mm-hmm. And I also just feel like Virginia has some weird karma going their way. They've got some lady luck. I don't know how it keeps happening for Virginia.
There's some karmic reality there.
But we shall see. Yeah. I can tell you this. All of Lubbock is holding its breath. You know, the school is shut down tomorrow. So they'll either be mourning all over the campus or celebrating all over the campus. I do know this. Nobody celebrates like Texas Tech in Lubbock. It will be a big time party there.
On that. That's
they're
so
flipping
true.
Cars and burning couches. They got it going on.
Love it.
Immediately after the show, if Tech wins, we're on our way to Lubbock. We're all going.
Woohoo! There we go.
By the time we get there, it'll just be starting out. I mean, it'll be a long, big night in Lubbock.
Just think how they'll react when they see the Big E coming, walking down Main Street in Lubbock. Watch out.
It's been great to have you in set. Thank you so much for coming in. Really appreciate it.
Appreciate it, guys. Hey, you guys are terrific. And, wow, I love being a part of your team.
Well, thank you for letting us be in your rarefied air. It's pretty great.
Terrific, guys.
Elvin Hayes on The Boss and the Gloss, NCAA Finals Special Edition tonight.